WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is another fantastic edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin. Folks, we got a lot to talk about. A lot to talk about on this Wednesday, December 3rd, including, yeah, the big news that everyone is talking about, the firing of Brady Hoke. Who replaces him and what does the future look like for the University of Michigan football program? We'll also give you a preview of the Michigan State and Notre Dame men's basketball game, the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Yeah, it starts tonight for Michigan State, folks. I tell you what, the Big Ten is just, my goodness, just head above heels better than the ACC right now, completely dominating this challenge so far. We'll also chat with Rob Smith, the head coach of the East Lansing girls basketball team. They began their season last night. And Charles Barkley had some interesting comments, to say the least, on what's going on down at Ferguson and the state of the cop versus African American in today's America. Man, we'll talk about all that and so much more, folks, but that's custom here on the show. Here's my man, Jock DeWitt, with your current sports quick hit headliners.
This is Jack DeWitt here to bring you the current sports quick hit headliners for Wednesday, December 3rd. After 4 years as the head coach of the University of Michigan football team, Brady Hoke has been relieved of his coaching duties. Brady Hoke went 11-2 in his first season at Michigan, including a Sugar Bowl win over Virginia Tech, but saw his wins decline in each of the next three seasons. Senior libero and team co-captain Corey Moster was an honorable mention. Freshman setter Rachel Manerick was selected to the all-freshman team. Senior middle blocker and team co-captain Jasmine White was named to the team's sportsmanship award honoree. The Spartans traveled to South Bend to take on the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame tonight. The Spartans are coming off a second-place finish in the Orlando Classic, looking to rebound from their loss to Kansas. Former Holt High and Michigan State pitcher Justin Allman transferred to Lee University, a D2 university in Tennessee. "I am very thankful for the opportunity to play at Lee University," Allman said in a team release. "I am excited to start playing again, and am really looking forward to my time there." Allman was a 16th round pick of the Kansas City Royals in the 2012 MLB draft, but did not sign. He went 6-2 in 95 innings over 14 starts as a sophomore last season, finishing with a 2.75 ERA, 57 strikeouts, and 32 walks while holding opposing batters to just a 2.08 average against him. Michigan holds off Syracuse 68-65 following a clutch three from junior reserve point guard Spike Albrecht. The Wolverines forced Syracuse into two turnovers in the final minute. Sophomore shooting guard Zach Irvin scored a team-high and game-high 18 points and was one of two Michigan players to play all 40 minutes. After playing the last two seasons in Detroit, right fielder Torrey Hunter has signed a one-year deal to return to the team he started his career with, the Minnesota Twins. Hunter is a five-time All-Star and nine-time Gold Glover. After taking a 1-0 lead in the first period, the Red Wings were unable to hold off the Panthers. This was the Red Wings' sixth regulation loss of the season. Gustav Nyquist, Pavel Datsyuk, and Thomas Tatar each notched a goal for Detroit. It was the ninth consecutive loss for the Detroit Pistons. Coach Stan Van Gundy said, "Offensively, we just continue to be awful. We're really messed up right now as a team. We have a lot of dilemmas, a lot of guys feeling pressure, but we're really not there mentally." 29-year Major League umpire Dale Scott has officially come out as gay. Scott has worked three All-Star games as well as three World Series. Scott becomes the first Major League umpire to be openly gay. Former Michigan State quarterback Brian Hoyer will remain the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns for at least one more week. Head coach Mike Pettine announced earlier today that Hoyer would get the nod over Johnny Manziel for Sunday's game against the Indianapolis Colts. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's go back to Al in the studio.
J Jock, my man with the plan. Yes, folks, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, our phone lines are now open. We'll be taking your calls right here on Current Sports all the way up until 2 p.m. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that we talk about today, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. If you do, I'll read it right here live on the air. Even tweet me at either Al Martin, WKAR, or at our official Current Sports Twitter page of at WKAR_sports. Tell you what, I'm a little sad today. No, not because Brady Hoke was fired, but because our fantastic interns, this is their final week, Alex. Can you believe that? They've been doing an outstanding job all semester, but the semester is now wrapping up. I believe we have Amanda behind the glass. Jock is behind the glass as well. Troy had to dip a little bit early, but he's done a great job all year. A little sad, man. This group is a beloved group, and I want to shout out them to start the show because they have done one fantastic job all semester. I wish we could queue up some applause here right now, but hey, hats off to you guys. You guys were fantastic all year. But folks, man, we've got a great show to start off. And you know, we're going to start off the show with a bang. Every one of you have been following this story since the beginning of this year up until now. It has been no surprise, did not surprise me, not one bit, and certainly didn't surprise many of you out there who have been following this program and following the situation that has been ensuing in Ann Arbor since the beginning of this year. Brady Hoke, ousted by U of M. You just heard from Jack. 4 years, after 4 years as the head coach over at U of M, Brady Hoke was relieved of his duties. There was a press conference that took place around 3 p.m. yesterday after we got off the air here on Current Sports. And the writing's been on the wall for quite some time now. So we start the show off each and every Wednesday. We love to bring a feel of debate. We go at it. We discuss and have healthy conversation here with a segment entitled Barbershop Wednesday, because you know when you try to look fly and go in and get that fresh haircut, there is always a sports debate going on. So the debate of the hour today is the firing of Brady Hoke. Who replaces him? Barbershop Wednesday starts our show.
Well, I mean, we can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but a healthy conversation.
Yeah, it's time for Barbershop Wednesday, folks. Again, if you want to weigh in on this, who do you think should replace and will replace Brady Hoke down in Ann Arbor? First off, I want to preface this conversation by first saying this wasn't really a surprise. Many of us saw this coming. The recent success, you can't even call it success, the recent demise, I should say, that has taken place in Ann Arbor with the Michigan football team is certainly something that many people aren't used to. This season had to be the worst season that I've ever witnessed when watching the Michigan football program. Last year wasn't great either, but all of the, just everything that took place this season, starting with the whole Shane Morris concussion situation to the countless losses, to losing to your rivals in Michigan State and Ohio State. It was just time. It was time for Brady Hoke to get the boot. You know, great guy. Great guy. Brady Hoke is a beloved guy. Great personality. Really kind person. But in Michigan, you gotta win. And he just simply couldn't do that. So, no surprise to me. I want to invite Alex Sharg, the man behind the glass, my fantastic engineer here on Current Sports, to weigh in on this because Alex has been chomping at the bit to get to this conversation since yesterday. How you doing, Alex?
Doing well, yeah. And to preface this conversation, what really should be said is it's not like when you said the writing is on the wall and you knew it was coming, for the people out there that are saying Jim Harbaugh or bust, like, you know, the Niners coach is it, and if they don't get him, that they're not going to be nearly as good. Don't be surprised if he says no. It's the same as don't be surprised if Brady Hoke is fired or not.
Right, and that's why I kind of want to start the conversation by talking about Jim Harbaugh, because his name is the name that's been thrown out since yesterday. And even before.
It's been thrown out since Rich Rod left.
Exactly. Okay. It's been craziness. You know, Jim Harbaugh, first off, I want to say this, because Jim Harbaugh, being the 49ers, he's right now in NFL. He's the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. It's been rumored that he might get the boot if the 49ers don't close out the season. If they don't make the playoffs and make a deep run in the playoffs, Jim Harbaugh might be gone. I tell you what, the big question with Jim Harbaugh, and I don't know if you saw the Vegas numbers too, but Vegas, right now the odds in Vegas have him as the next coach for Michigan right now. Totally delusional right now, I think, because first off, there are going to be a lot of teams out there other than U of M that are going to be going after Jim Harbaugh if he is released and fired by the San Francisco 49ers. There's at least going to be 12 or 13 teams out there that are going to want this man if he is let go. The big question, though, for Jim is, Alex, is if he wants to leave the NFL. Right now, the NFL is where the moolah is. The NFL holds the mighty dollar. Jim Harbaugh, looking at reports from guys like Adam Schefter, whose job is to cover the NFL and to dive into things like this, it looks as though Jim doesn't want to leave the NFL, according to those reports. It looks as though Jim, if by some crazy imagination the 49ers don't close out the season the way they want to and they do fire Jim Harbaugh, I don't know if Jim wants to leave the National Football League and come down to coach at the collegiate level.
And
that's one of the big things.
And that's the other thing, is there are so many reports right now left and right. Sources close to Harbaugh say he's going to stay. Sources close say he's going to leave and come to Michigan. There are so many reports right now. So when I look at who's going to be the next candidate, the best way is not seeing who the hot board is on some website or not who ESPN's analyst thinks.
It's all speculation.
What I think the best way when looking at this, Al, is looking at who has been a successful coach right now. If you look at the last trend between Rich Rod and Brady Hoke, the last two hires, both of those coaches before they left have succeeded. Brady Hoke at Ball State, Rich Rodriguez of West Virginia, both had succeeded. Both great records, both very loved by their team.
Right.
A lot of high accolades, bowl championships on top of that. So before coaches leave, they are successful, which makes me to believe that the next coach at the University of Michigan has to be a coach that has been successful before he leaves. And when you're talking about Harbaugh, and when you're talking about Les Miles, and when you're talking about all these coaches left and right, you're talking about Sean Payton, you're talking about Shanahan, all these professional coaches. If I'm Michigan, why would you go after a coach that has not been liked by its fan base, and in the most recent years has had a declining record? So
yeah,
for me, the next coach, I think, has a winning record.
When you say that, are you specifically talking about Jim Harbaugh? Excuse me.
Yeah, I think Jim Harbaugh and several others.
It's hard to compare them. When you talk about his recent demise, I guess, with the 49ers. And still, though, the NFL season is still going on here. They could still possibly make the playoffs. Who knows? But the NFL, to compare recent success in the NFL, is not you can't compare that to the collegiate level, though, Alex. I don't know if you can say, okay, Jim Harbaugh did not have a good year with the 49ers. Why would you want to hire him? This is the NFL we're talking about. That's a totally different level of football.
That's a good point,
the level
too.
Of success is different. But when talking about Jim, I think if the stars do align and by some crazy imagination, Jim Harbaugh does become the next head coach at Michigan, this is the type of guy you want. This is the Christmas present that you want underneath the tree during this time of the year if you do get Jim Harbaugh. He has all the intangibles, all the resume. He's a Michigan man. This is the type of guy that you want if you are a Michigan football fan. I think if they land Jim Harbaugh, oh my goodness! I mean, that'd be unbelievable.
Hey,
he's the right guy for the job.
I'm in agreement with you. We could agree on that. That this is your Christmas present here.
I just don't think it'll happen.
Right, and that's the thing is we both are in agreement that it just won't happen. And that's because look, he's out in San Francisco. The money's probably going to be there with other teams. Like you said, there are other teams chasing him. So a lot of other things to look at when you're talking about Jim Harbaugh leaving to come back to his alma mater. And for me, the only reason that I see him leaving, it's almost like a pity cry here. Like, you know, Help us. We need a coach. There's no one else that can do it.
Well, it is. Well, that's the thing here. I mean, any coach that takes over this program is going to be in that situation where they've had years where they have not performed to nowhere close to the expectation that Michigan football has. Whatever coach takes over is going to have to, in a way, sort of rebuild this program and start from scratch and say, okay, what pieces aren't working here? What pieces are working that we must build upon and build upon that area? This is going to be a rebuilding project. This is going to be no easy task to revive this program. So whatever coach is going to come in, yeah, it's going to be a process. It is going to be a process, folks. So Jim Harbaugh, that'd be the ideal guy. If you don't get Jim, you want a guy like Jim. I think his personality is also a personality. Whoever takes over this program has to have a personality that's going to come in and say, okay, this is what's going to go down. This is how we're going to do it, and we're going to do it my way. They are going to have a strong personality because looking at, again, the recent demise of this football team, there are a lot of critics out there that are bashing this program, bashing this team, and taking a lot of heat for it. Whoever comes in is going to have some tough skin and a strong personality to deal with the criticism that comes along with it. You threw out some names here. Jim Harbaugh, we're done talking about him. If they do get him, wow. Again, the heavens will part if Jim Harbaugh is the next coach at Michigan. It's the ideal hire you want. If you don't get him, let's be more realistic here. Now, you threw out a few names, Alex, that were quite intriguing when vying your point just a minute ago. Les Miles, his name has been thrown around a lot. He's the LSU Tigers head coach. The question with Les Miles is, can he sustain a dominant program? That's one of those questions that have been thrown out constantly when talking about Les Miles. Also, you know, you're talking about having a beloved fan base, a fan base that loves you. I don't know how much Les Miles is loved out in Ann Arbor because, you know, diving into Les Miles, and I did a lot of reading on Les yesterday. Lloyd Carr, it seems like Lloyd Carr can't stand Les Miles. And a lot of coaches around the Ann Arbor area don't like Miles. I don't know.
Lloyd Carr also wasn't a Rich Rod guy, too. So that also says a lot.
Yeah, that's true. So what do you think about Les, though?
No, I think Les could be possible, but it's like I said, and you said the NFL's different. Here you have a college coach on the demise in Louisiana. So for me, that's something I worry about a little bit. Yeah, not really a demise. They're still an 8-4 team. I think, number 24, 23 right now. Still going to make a bowl. But at the same time, do you want a coach that in college that is on the demise? And Maya, and that's the thing. You bring up a great point that just because it's NFL, it's a different game. But if you look at the trend, they have been very dominant coaches at their peak at that school.
Yeah, but you know what? There's not many coaches that can say they've been to a Super Bowl. At least Jim has been to a Super Bowl.
That's right.
He knows how to win. He know, and that's at the supreme level of football. He's been to one of the biggest stages, the biggest stage in football, folks. So Jim knows what he's doing. But again, you know, going back to your point. So basically, what you're saying, Alex, is whoever comes in has to be on the up and up, coming
exactly.
off a great year, looking for an opportunity
exactly.
to expand on their career resume. In doing that in Michigan is ideally yeah. one of the best
or that has
to.
Left on a good note. And
okay.
for me, there are two guys that stand out in mind. So these are the two guys I think they will hire. One
okay,
of these
let's
two.
See if, it's Lee if one matches with mine.
The first
I got one
guy,
too.
The first guy is Bob Stoops at Oklahoma.
That's mine. Okay. Yep.
If he decides to leave it, I mean, you're going from Big 12 to Big 10. Looking at the Power Four, you could still argue right now with TCU in there that the Big 12 is a better conference right now. But at the same time, he has a proven track record. He's been there. Like you said, you worry about Les Miles sustaining. You have Bob Stoops here that can sustain, like you said, Al. So for me, Bob Stoops is one option that I think is a good possibility. Not sure if he's going to be willing to leave. I think he likes it over there in Oklahoma, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
The second option that I think is most possible is Greg Schiano, former Rutgers coach. We have a job shadow. We're here today in the studio. Brian Bobo, I'm sure, is grinning right now, being from New Jersey. But it was reported years back that the Star Ledger out in Newark reported that Schiano was offered the Michigan job in 2007, decided to stay at Rutgers, and then that was and his agent actually reportedly suggested Rich Rodriguez as a candidate, and he knew that he was looking.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that he's interviewed before.
Yeah.
The fact that he left Rutgers on a good note, left in 2011 with the 9-4 record, won his bowl that year. I think Schiano might be the best candidate here. He has some Michigan ties. I think it's a Big Ten guy now with Rutgers in the conference. He has that Big Ten, the East Coast experience that the Big Ten is a lot of times looking to get. I think Schiano, I might give him the nod over Stoops. Yes, he's been out for a couple years, out of college football, but I think that he's the best candidate.
Interesting stuff. All right, well, Schiano is high on your list. That's number one for you. Now, you know, looking at some other candidates, I mean, you brought up Bob Stoops was also on my list. Again, head coach at Oklahoma, 168-42 overall record with bowl appearances in every one of his 16 seasons. He's a guy that knows how to win. He's a guy that knows how to turn around a program. Interesting stuff because I was, you know, on the internet, I tell you what, there's been a lot of speculation. And again, every website I went to look at what other people thought about this whole thing, who should be the next coach at Michigan, everybody had at least three or four names I had never heard of before, different from another website. So there's a lot of people being thrown into this hat right now. Who knows who's going to be pulled out of it? But you know what? One of those names is Pat Narduzzi, defensive coordinator for Michigan State University.
Have you even asked him I mean, that's the thing. I think a lot of these reports about Narduzzi are just saying, are people out there watching the Michigan State game?
Yeah, this is the thing about it, though. Pat Narduzzi, you know, one of the reasons why Pat Narduzzi is still here at Michigan State as the defensive coordinator is because, first off, all of the coaching jobs that he's been offered so far up until this point haven't been the right situation for him. You constantly hear about that. D'Antonio even talked about it, about, you know, Narduzzi staying. He said, yeah, he's just kind of just waiting on the right situation. We all know Pat Narduzzi is going to be a head coach somewhere soon in college football. It's just a matter of time right now. But, yeah, his name is being thrown around. And, you know, I just can't see Pat, a guy, again, this is D'Antonio's guy. We all know how much D'Antonio dislikes that other school in Ann Arbor. We all know how loyal that coaching staff is to Mark D'Antonio. From a loyalty lens here, I just couldn't see Pat Narduzzi rocking the maize and blue in Ann Arbor. That'd be quite the story. That'd be fun to cover. I tell you that, Pat Narduzzi coaching against Mark D'Antonio every single year. But I just don't see that happening. No. That's kind of a pipe dream for me.
If anything, Mark is like, if you're going to take a job, take the Nebraska job, if anything.
Right, if anything, exactly, right? Another name out there, you talk about a team on the up and up, a guy whose name I saw on multiple sites and throughout multiple areas here, Mississippi State's head coach Dan Mullen. Mississippi State is having a fantastic season, even though we saw what happened in the Egg Bowl not too long ago. But still, Dan Mullen is an impressive coach. He has a very strong personality. He's turned around the Bulldogs to be one of the elite teams in the nation. He could be a guy, possibly, that may be looking to etch another stone in his career and possibly go coach at Michigan, the powerhouse at Michigan. Tom Herman, another name that's been thrown around. But also, you talk about that rivalry aspect. He's Ohio State's offensive coordinator. His name is thrown around basically looking at how bad this Michigan offense has been this year. I mean, it's been terrible to watch. Really no consistency. Devin Gardner hasn't been great. The receivers have been dismal at best, other than, you know, Funches. I mean, but still, this offense has been one of the worst, probably the worst I've seen throughout Michigan's entire, since I've been watching Michigan football. But Tom Herman, what he's been able to do with Ohio State's offense, especially after losing a Heisman Trophy candidate in Braxton Miller, bringing in a freshman in JT Barrett, and to have one of the prolific offenses in the nation, many people not expecting Ohio State to even be in contention, of the 14 playoff before the season started, looking at what that offense had to deal with. Tom Herman has done a remarkable job. I tell you what, possibly Tom rocking the
maize. But then it goes back to the loyalty thing again. Yeah, are you going to leave for Michigan, Ohio State?
So. Exactly, and that's a whole other discussion as well. I mean, will he leave the rival in OSU to go coach Michigan? I tell you what, money talks at the end of the day. I will be very interested to see whoever the next head coach is at Michigan, how much they are getting paid, how much that salary is, because if you're going to nail one of these high, prolific coaches, the dollar signs have to match up and be right. The money has to be there, especially if you're talking about Jim Harbaugh. If you want to land that guy, you're going to have to shell out some moolah to get him. So whoever gets this job, if it's a big-time name, if it's a Les Miles, a Harbaugh, a Bob Stoops, if it's one of those guys, you are going to have to come out of that wallet. And those dollar signs, those zeros, have to look right, whoever it is. Folks, who do you think is going to be the next head coach over at Michigan? What are your thoughts on the firing of Brady Hoke? We all kind of saw this coming, right? Call in 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I knew this brother was calling. Ray is on line one. Ray, how you doing? You are on Current Sports.
Hey, did you guys have a nice Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was lovely. I ate a little too much. I need to hit Planet Fitness after the show as we speak
yeah,
right now, Ray.
I was driving through your town the other day. I tried to call you on my car phone. I couldn't get through, but I was going up to Zender's. Me and my family meet at Frankenmuth every year.
Ah, nice. So you had a good Thanksgiving, Ray?
Yeah, the people from all over the world come to Frankenmuth. It's pretty neat. You ever been there?
No, I've never been. Never been to Frankenmuth.
You ought to check it out sometimes. Beautiful chicken they got. Carriage rides, they got all kinds of stuff to do.
Oh, man, I'll put it on my bucket list. I got to do that, Ray.
Sculptures in January, parade in June. Pretty neat. Pretty neat city.
Wow.
But anyways, are the bullies ready to humble themselves yet?
You know, Ray, I've been waiting on this call since I heard the news at 3:30 yesterday that Brady Hoke was going to be fired. What are your thoughts on it, Ray? Who do you think is going to replace him?
Let me tell you, I worked down there 18 years, okay? I got that crowd rocking and rolling, and it wasn't Lloyd Carr and all them other crappy coaches they had that won that national title. It was the fans and the players. Until they start listening to the fans, they're going to keep losing down there. They got to humble themselves, those rich, arrogant, prideful people. That's the key right there. Whoever you're right, whoever comes in there, they got to give him full reign. And Jim Harbaugh, I don't think he's going to leave California. I hear his wife likes California.
Right, right.
He might go to Oakland, but Les Miles you're talking about, okay?
Yeah, Miles is one of the names that's been thrown around.
Okay,
right.
I'm going to tell you something about the guy. He's pretty shady down there in LSU. He almost got him on probation 3 or 4 times. You might get more wins, but you may get yourself in a worse program too.
Gotcha.
You better watch that guy, okay?
Okay.
And some of the other coaches that guy you were talking about out of Rutgers that was going to be hired by Michigan a few years ago.
Schiano, that's who Alex brought up.
Didn't he go to the NFL and fail?
I believe. I have to look at his resume. We'll look that up right now, actually.
Did he play 2 or 3 years?
He did?
And he got fired?
We'll have to look that up. I'll look that up right now.
Okay,
Alex is saying, yeah.
That's what I want to find out about because...
But again,
another Freddie Flintstone on your hands. But
Ray, when you talk about, and again, this is one of the points I wanted to make. I mean, when you talk about success at the NFL, I mean, the NFL is a totally different ball game than college football.
I agree with you.
You know what I mean? You're coaching, you know, upper echelon guys that may have a lot of egos. You don't have to deal with recruiting. I mean, it's just a different situation overall when it comes to coaching in the NFL compared to the college realm.
You're talking about that offensive coordinator at Ohio State?
Right, yeah, Tom Herman.
We're down to the third-string quarterback. We'll see what they can do against Wisconsin this week, okay? Because I watched him against Michigan. He didn't look like he could pass a lick, and he ran for a first down against Michigan. We'll see what he has to do when he has to play 60 minutes. He only had to play one quarter, and they got a fumble all the way back against Michigan. That was a close game for quite a while.
Right, yeah, that is very, very true. And,
We're going to find out just how good an offense, because he did a hell of a job with Barrett.
He did.
He did a hell of a job. But I don't know if he can do it with a third-string quarterback against Wisconsin.
Right. It's going to be very interesting. And I tell you what, again, you know, when I saw Barrett go down and come to find out that he fractured his foot, he's out for the year, I said, oh, my goodness, you got to be kidding me. So if they do beat Wisconsin, I mean, it speaks volumes to what Tom Herman can do.
That's right. It does. What did we find out about the Rutgers coach? Did he play didn't he go to the NFL and fail?
Yeah, Alex? Alex has
He did, Ray, and the thing about that is, he did fail in the NFL, but it's the Buccaneers. They have a lot of problems going on with that franchise. He didn't really have a lot of tools to work with.
Yep.
He still has that Big Ten connection and experience, and that may trump it in the end.
Yeah,
That might be the best one if they were going to go with. But, you know, I'm hoping they go with somebody like Les Miles that can get them. You know, let's say will call me and we can go halfway, meet halfway. It's up to them to humble themselves, okay?
There you go. All right,
God
Ray.
God bless you guys. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Thanks a lot, Ray. All right, folks, again, if you want to call in, who will be or should be the next coach down in Ann Arbor for the University of Michigan football team? 517-355-9527. Even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. I will read your tweets live here on the air. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about high school girls basketball. Yes, it all began last night. Season openers, folks, we'll invite head coach of the East Lansing girls basketball team, Rob Smith, to talk about the upcoming year for the Trojans. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Wednesday, World Wednesday is like our engineer, is what our engineer Alex Shark likes to call it, where we play music from around the world. I believe that is Shakira, right, Alex? I never thought that I would hear Shakira here on Current Sports, but we have set history. We have made history here on Current Sports. Hope Shakira's listening. They may not ever happen again. All right. All right, folks. Again, our question of the day, our Barbershop Wednesday topic of the day here. Again, we're taking your calls up. We have 30 minutes left in the show, all the way up until 2 p.m. Call in. Give your thoughts on the firing of Brady Hoke. Who replaces the man out in Ann Arbor? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. In the meantime, let's invite our guest here on today's show. I'm excited. Not only is MSU men's basketball starting, is college basketball in full effect right now, but I tell you what, high school basketball is also in live and full effect. Last night, the girls' high school basketball season started for many teams throughout the area, including the East Lansing Trojans. They took on Lansing Catholic and got the dub, a 63-52 victory, and I have the privilege of welcoming the man in charge of that team, Rob Smith, the head coach of the East Lansing girls' basketball squad. Rob, how you doing, and thanks for your time.
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Now, Rob, first off, I got to ask you, man. I mean, how crazy is it that high school basketball is already back? I feel like just yesterday I was talking about the start of the football season.
It's really exciting. I'm a big Lions fan and, of course, took in the Thanksgiving dinner and watched them win a wonderful game against the Bears there. And immediately after that, the anxiety of the amount of work that was going to be needed to put in over the next 3 or 4 months here set in. And so there's been kind of a new focus for me. And last night was a kickoff to the season. And I can't tell you how pleased I am with the results. We had 6 freshmen on the varsity, a sophomore, 2 seniors and 3 juniors. And we were playing a fairly experienced Lansing Catholic team with 7 returners back. And it was a tight game. We ended up pulling it out right at the end and shot some free throws and won by 12. So couldn't be more happy to the start.
Yeah, very good start to the year. And again, looking at last year, I mean, you guys all finished 6-15 last year, ending the season with the district loss to Hazlitt. Is it safe to say that last year was sort of a rebuilding year for you guys, Rob?
Well, you know, last year was quite the humbling experience. You know, after 6 straight visits to the quarterfinals, the state title, state runner-up, and 10 conference championships, all of a sudden you're staring 6-15 in the face. And I guess, it really makes you reflect on your program and what you have to do to get it back. Of course, we had 2 huge injuries last year. Michi Thompson was our 4-year returning starter at point guard and scoring 20 points a night and tore ACL. And then Danny Hansen, who was being recruited Division I at the time, tore her ACL. And it just wasn't in the cards. And it was just too much adversity throughout the season to overcome. But got to tell you, you learn a lot about coaching when your team struggles a little bit in terms of the wins. And you have a tendency to learn more and study the game more and not take things for granted.
Yeah, certainly. And you mentioned the word a humbling experience for you last year. And you talk about as a coach, what you learn about yourself as a coach when you go through something like you did last year after having the unprecedented success that you had years before that. I mean, Rob, what did you learn about yourself as a coach?
Well, it's a test of, your what you stand for, because you always hear from coaches speak, you know, we got to, you know, when we face adversity, we got to, you know, stand together and, you know, be tough and work hard and not give up. And, you know, when it actually happens, you know, when you're losing all those games and everything that you're doing is, you know, not working out in the win-loss column, you're just happy that you do the right things. You continue to teach the fundamentals. You have that growth mindset where regardless of the turnout of the game, you're working hard to make sure that everybody's getting better. And you hope that through that experience, the kids understand that it truly isn't about the winning and the losing. It's about the development of character and trust and you know, relationship building.
Certainly. Now, Rob, did you see any flower blooming from the concrete last year? I mean, what did you see that you could build upon going into this year, last year?
Well, quite honestly, what I saw this summer coming in was our eighth grade kids and their excitement for the game. And as we started to have open gyms and four-player workouts and camps, it was apparent to me that we had a really good class. And now we have six of them on varsity. They all played last night. Five kids scored in double figures, which as a coach, you got to love. I'm staring, you know, 4 years of having this kind of talent to face, and that's exciting, along with a sophomore and three really good juniors. So this year is going to be, we're going to have some bumps and bruises, and we're going to learn a lot and, you know, continue to grow. And then, you know, I kind of point to next year as a year where we could, you know, get things back to, you know, what we've been used to doing over the years.
Rob Smith, head coach of the East Lansing girls basketball team. So, Rob, for you, what is the off season like? After you end it last year and you go through that summer, and you talk about the summer and seeing certain positive things that you can build upon. I mean, what is the off season like for the girls? What's their workout regimen like for them to get better?
Well, you know, we have a fun summer. We start the summer off. Our first week is, you know, our local basketball club here, the East Lansing Basketball Club, sponsors camp for boys and girls, which the kids love. And this last year, we just implemented WNBA League, where the girls are just playing against the girls, and our numbers were off the charts. And so that's a fun camp. We have a lot of guest speakers that come in from all over the place and talk to the kids about their game, and that gets them pumped up. And, you know, we go to shootouts here and there. And our big bonding week is in July, mid-July. We go to Grand Valley team camp. The kids stay overnight together and develop, you know, team chemistry. And then in the fall, we have workouts and open gym. And you know, we try not to overdo it, though, you know, because we offer 34 sports at East Lansing. And, you know, if you give them too much, then you lose them. So we try to just give them enough to, you know, keep them coming back and you know, put a competitive team out on the floor. And you know, that's pretty much the gist of it.
Oh, that takes me back, boy. Those were good summer days back in high school. All right, Rob, so how competitive do you think this year's team can be? What are your expectations for the squad in the conference?
Well, you know, we won six ball games last year, so, you know, a 10-win season would be great for us. But really, I'd like to take a page out of Coach Archer's notebook that, you know, this year they won states, but they just pretty much looked at it, you know, one game at a time. Just get better one game at a time. Just continue to grow. Understand that you know, sky's the limit in terms of development, and just really focus on that. And, you know, if we had a schedule that was tailored more to our talent, then we could probably win 14, 15 ball games. But, you know, somebody asked me the other day, who are the best teams in the area? And I said, basically, our non-conference schedule. You know, you have Hazlitt, who could go a long ways in the tournament, Williamson, who's picked to win their league, DeWitt, who's right there with Hazlitt, St. John's was pretty good. We got Waverly Friday night. And, you know, and then, of course, Lansing Catholic last night, we felt like that was a big win because of their experience. So, I mean, you take those teams, plus the CAAC Blue. You know, you're looking at Grand Ledge, you're looking at Holt. They're the favorites. Ultimus is somewhere up there, and then they have us finishing about in the middle. But, you know, what would be a great season for us is if we could knock off a good team here and there and then beat the teams that, you know, we should beat. You know, who knows? We could surprise some people this year.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, it looks as though, looking at your schedule here, Rob, it looks as though you guys play those teams like Hazlitt and Waverly. I mean, you guys played them pretty early in your schedule. I mean, is that the ideal time that you would like to play those teams, though, seeing as though you can kind of pick and choose where those holes are in this team and how to plug them as the season goes on?
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I've always been under, you know, I know a lot of coaches like to schedule so that their kids can gain a little bit of confidence, you know, get some W's early on, but for us, it's always been about scheduling the best, and, you know, we've traveled to Detroit to play Country Day. We've played Saginaw teams from Flint, people from all over the years, just to, you know, Grand Rapids, just to get the best of the best so that the kids can set the bar high.
Certainly. And I want to bring up, you brought up Coach Nick Archer. Nick was actually on the TV show a few weeks ago as we celebrated, again, winning back-to-back state championships over at East Lansing High School for the first time in that boys soccer program, the first time in school history. I mean, pretty remarkable stuff. When kids in the school, first off, what was the buzz like around the school when that moment happened? And as far as your players go and your team goes, is there any sort of trickle-down effect that makes them say, man, I would love to win a state championship?
Yeah, it's an awesome culture. I mean, just the kind of culture that he creates with the soccer program is contagious. I mean, the first thing I asked our athletic director in our winter coaches meeting was, you know, how does Coach Archer do it? You know, how is he so consistent year in and year out?
Right.
You know? And you know, what can we do to implement that kind of culture into our program, you know? So, yeah, and you know, when teams in your school are winning state titles, there's a process there. There's a blueprint that can be followed, and that's what you try to do. But, you know, I'm so happy for Nick because, you know, he's one of the best guys that are out there, you know, and he started this program from scratch. He's been the only coach here, and you know, he's the man.
He is. He is, to say the least. He is the man. All right, now, Rob, you know what I found so interesting, too? You know, last year, after the season was finished, I saw you on the sidelines helping out, of course, the boys' high school boys' basketball coach over there at East Lansing, Steve Finnemore. Now, what sort of things have you learned from him and vice versa? What do you guys pick each other's brains?
Yeah, the thing I like most about Steve is he's such a student of the game. You know, he's constantly, especially like with, you know, picking the brain of other coaches, you know, he always comes up with awesome quotes. He's a really positive guy. But the thing is about him is he's just so open to suggestions. And he's always asking, you know, hey, what are you doing with this? What are you doing with that? And well, those are the kind of people that you like to work with, you know. And he's the kind of guy, too, that, you know, he likes to give, you know, the other guy credit. And, you know, he gave me the opportunity where, you know, I was like, we were out of the tournament and I was just kind of hanging out with nothing left to do.
Right.
He's, you know, after school, and he said, hey, come help out. And I'm like, sure, you know, and it was a treat. It really was, because it, you know, that boys game has just played at such a fast pace. It was just really, really exciting.
Yeah. And have you ever coached boys basketball before, Rob?
I have. I've coached boys before. I was out at Bass for a couple years, and Grandpa's Northview and Montague High School, and been around the block. You have it, freshman, JV, eighth grade, varsity. So coach them at all levels. And, you know, I like them all. You know, I like the girls. I like the boys. I just love the game of basketball. And, you know, as I get older, I'm not so much concerned with, you know, how many fans are in the stands or whatever. For me, it's just about the experience and giving back to the kids.
Yeah, and you know, I've asked this question, by multiple coaches who've come on the show who have coached, you know, both boys and girls, and whatever sport it is. For you, what is the biggest difference when coaching girls compared to boys out there on the hardwood?
Just the speed of the game, you know, the level of the game, and you know, how, you know, boys jump a lot higher, run a little bit faster, but it's all the same in terms of the strategies and X's and O's and that. And, you know, the girls are, you know, guys will compete against one another and, you know, and practice and win a game and be happy. You know, the girls sometimes, you know, they feel a little bit sad that they beat their friend kind of deal. You know, they get a little emotional. But, you know, other than that, though, I enjoy them equally.
Definitely. Again, folks, Rob Smith, head girls basketball coach over at East Lansing High School. Rob, I'm here on my Twitter page, and one of our listeners has a question for you. They want to know an update on how Michi and the other player is doing, both who, of course, suffered those ACL injuries last year. Were they both seniors? I believe Michi was a senior, right?
Oh, yeah. Michi's at Michigan academically. She's going to try to walk on next year, so she's doing pretty good. And Danny Hansen's a junior on her team, and she's making a great comeback. It was awesome to see her on the floor last night. She put up 12 points and had 10 rebounds, so put up a double-double in her first game back from an ACL tear. So, you know, it's been exciting. You know, we have 10 kids out there playing college ball right now, and the only unfortunate thing about that is that I can't get out to see them all because I'm so busy with my own team, you know. But,
right.
I mean, the other night we had Victoria Lipscomb. She was coaching as an assistant for Michigan State, who played in 08. And then, of course, Akia Minifee, her running mate there at Oakland, is in her senior year at Oakland. So that was a special night for us over at the Breslin.
Oh, boy. Rob, what is that like? I mean, when you see, you know, your players go on to do great things within the game at the next level. I mean, what's that feeling like as a coach?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, and that's part of the deal. So you got to balance win ball games, and I've been so blessed with these beautiful kids that get up and down the floor and put the ball in the basket. In terms of the tradition of the program, it's just something that we can pass down to the young kids and let them know that, you know, there's a vehicle here for them to be successful. And if they want to put in the work, then, you know, jump.
Yeah, that is certainly true. All right, Rob, well, I'll let you get out of here. You said your next game is this Friday against Waverly, right? Oh, do we have him? Rob, you still there? Well, I think we lost him. What timing was that? That was great timing. Right when that last question, got that last question is, and then we dropped the call. But Rob, if you're still listening, thanks a lot for joining me today. Again, Rob Smith, head girls basketball coach at East Lansing High School. I believe their next game is this Friday at Waverly. Then they go on the road for the next three games, starting with Hazlitt next week, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Good luck on your season, Rob. All right, well, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will wrap the show by talking about some interesting comments from one of the NBA greats, Charles Barkley. Yeah, he had some strong things to talk about when it came to the situation out in Ferguson, a conversation that we certainly expounded upon during yesterday's Current Sports. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Boy, jam-packed show. I tell you, time flies by when you're having fun. We've certainly had a pretty good time here on Current Sports today. We have 12 minutes left. You want to call in, give your thoughts on anything we talk about, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, I'll tell you what, yesterday you guys blew up our phone lines. I love it when you guys do that because it provides some healthy discussion on multiple things that we talk about. We love to go beyond the X's and O's. That's our mantra here on Current Sports, and we certainly did that yesterday when talking about the St. Louis Rams. If you didn't see what the St. Louis Rams did right before their game against the Oakland Raiders, it was pretty interesting. Before they walked out, they put up their hands, of course, in the hands up, don't shoot symbol that has been going around, sweeping the nation. And, you know, it's really in support of Michael Brown, of course, the young African-American teenager who sadly lost his life to a police officer down in Ferguson. Really sad stuff. It's really gotten a lot of political views from left and right. It's a discussion that has opened the can of worms when talking about race and inequality and prejudice. And it's got a lot of people talking, including former NBA hoop great Charles Barkley. I didn't know how big this story was until Alex, before we took the air, just minutes before we took the air, he said, Al, did you hear Charles Barkley's comments? Now, I had heard it briefly, but not exactly what he had said. It was on the front page headline video on CNN.com. Here's just a snippet of what Charles had to say about race in America, about the situation out in Ferguson, and about prejudice.
We've always had a racial issue in this country, and the biggest problem with it is we never discuss race until something bad happens. We never have meaningful dialogue over a cold beer when things are going good. But what happens is when something bad happens, everybody has a tribe mentality. Everybody want to protect their own tribe, whether they're right or wrong.
What do you mean when they're right or wrong?
We all got bad characters in our group. We all got bad characters. So my grandmother taught me, you judge everybody on their own individual merits. You don't care what any other jackass has to say You don't put everybody together. Black is not always right, and white is not always wrong. You got some bad apples who taking advantage of the situation. Oh, that's the plan. You got, and that's unfortunate, because this is a serious, somebody lost a child. And this is something we need to sit back and discuss and figure out what happened, what went wrong. But let me say this. The notion that white cops are out there just killing black people, that's ridiculous. It's just flat out ridiculous. And I challenge any black person to try to make that point. This notion that cops are actually awesome. You know, they're the only thing in the ghetto from between this place being the Wild Wild West. So this notion that cops are out there just killing black men, it's ridiculous. And I hate that narrative coming out of that, out of this entire situation. There's some black people out there who are crooks. And when the police come to your neighborhood, it's a tense situation. The only time you interact with the cops is when things are going wrong. That's the only time we ever interact with the cops. But first of all, we as black people, we got a lot of crooks. We can't just wait until something like this happened.
Yeah. Charles Barkley. Strong comments and interesting comments, to say the least. That was during a sit-down with CNN. As they got, of course, his thoughts on what is taking place, what took place, I should say, down in Ferguson, Illinois, of course, with the situation that has gone down with Michael Brown, the young African-American teen whose life was taken at the hands of a police officer. The jury found that they would not, arrest Wilson and take him into custody, and he would not serve any time behind bars. And it was a decision that got a lot of media play, because I tell you what, there were protests, there were riots. It's just a lot of socially just really, really tough stuff. It's really tough to talk about for me, because, you know, sitting there watching it, I tell you what, I had never really seen anything like that take place after a verdict was read. For me, what rubbed me the wrong way, because there were many out across this nation, I would also want to call out, that did it in a peaceful way. You guys have been listening to the show as we talked about this yesterday and last week as well. What really got me was the ones who were doing it in a violent way. The looting and the violence and the setting cars on fire, it went too far. It simply went too far. But I tell you what, listening to Charles Barkley's comments on this, as you just heard, the snippet that we just played for you, I have to admit, I 120% agree with what Charles Barkley had to say. First off, I want to shout out, because I feel as though when having this conversation about what the St. Louis Rams did yesterday and how, you know, the St. Louis cops got really upset about it and said, okay, the NFL and the St. Louis Rams organization needs to issue us an apology. They felt like it was sort of disrespectful because that gesture, and this is from them, made it seem like every cop is bad. I want to say that every cop in America is not a bad cop. This is one of those situations where, sadly, you have, not even just talking about the Michael Brown case specifically, look into Oscar Grant. You know, looking at what happened at Fruitvale Station, you know, with that whole situation. Multiple situations have occurred. Trayvon Martin's another one. Multiple situations have occurred throughout our nation's history concerning cops ending the lives of young African Americans in this nation. Those situations have been amplified times 20 because, be honest with you, just about all those situations resulted in one of where the African American male did not have to lose their life. And I do believe, yes, prejudice still exists in today's society, folks. It is nothing new. It has not simply disappeared. Sure, we have come a long way since the days of Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, and Malcolm X. But it still exists today. Point blank, period. And, I thought Charles Barkley made an interesting point, because he pointed out that, you know, cops are great. He said, quote, cops are awesome. You know, they're the only thing that is preventing our society from being the wild, wild west. There are a lot of good cops in our nation, folks. Sadly, in situations that occur, that are unjustifiably that do not explain why a young black teen loses their life, is those situations and those cops that get the most media attention because it's so in your face and it makes all cops look bad. You know, one rotten apple spoils the outlook of the bunch in this situation. So I agree with it. And vice versa, you know, if me being African American, I tell you what, there are things that happen in the community that I grew up in that go down where it's like, come on, really? Common sense issues. You know, I'm not going to put anybody on blast or list any specific names here, but those listening to me, some of my homeboys who listen to me each and every day that grew up with me back in Detroit, on the west side of Detroit, know what I'm talking about. Know the crew that I'm talking about. Know the people that I'm talking about that put themselves in positions to not succeed in life. They put themselves in position to be arrested by cops. That put themselves in position to constantly be pulled over. That put themselves in position that ends in a life of crime and violence. We got to wake up as people too, folks. This ain't a one-way street. This is not a one-way street. And I commend Charles Barkley for his comments and that other perspective of things that is not getting talked about. Because I feel as though us as people, sometimes we play that victim role a little too much. A little too much. Folks, if you want to comment on anything that's been discussed, said, hey, you can still go to facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read your comment live on tomorrow's show. You can also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or at our official Current Sports Twitter page of at WKAR_sports. Again, I will read your tweets and comments during tomorrow's show. I want to give a shout out to Rob Smith, the head coach of the East Lansing girls soccer team. Thanks a lot, Rob, for joining me. Again, good luck to you and your squad. I just can't believe that Hoops is already here. Folks, we will have an entire recap of what's about to go down tonight. We didn't get to give you guys a preview, but you guys pretty much know what has to happen for Michigan State to pull this game out and to get back on the right foot. I tell you what, look for a big bounce back game from Brandon Dawson. But again, Michigan State takes on Notre Dame in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. That's going to be a fun game to watch. It was a fun game last night, too. I don't know if you guys caught Michigan and Syracuse, but that came down to the wire. Michigan, I tell you what, they got some pieces that they can play with. Caris LeVert, Spike Arbuck. How about Spike Arbuck, too? Going to be a fun season, though, folks. But again, we'll have an entire recap of that tomorrow. Again, you've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Wednesday. And hey, be easy, people. We'll be right back.